Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Gresh and Poirier on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Could he come back? Would he come back? We're talking about Tom Brady. And just before we get into this Tom Brady podcast that he was on, Danny Green, three-time NBA champion, will join us at 11:20. I don't know what you guys have noticed about the Celtics, but their give-a-crap factor is at, like, zero.
I saw that in that Bucks game.
Just zero. They don't care at all.
Settle in. You're like, I'm going to watch this game. It's going to be a good game.
Nope.
Nobody even went. There's no – was it, like, one foul?
There was
the whole game?
Two free throws attempted in the entire game. The first time ever a team in the NBA has not attempted a free throw. That's nuts in itself. So that's going to happen at 11:20. But first, let's get to this because I told you I was going to make you feel better.
Go ahead.
So Tom Brady was on a Real Unique Concept podcast. I don't know if anybody's ever seen any shows that have done in like a barbershop. I'd say like, let me think of the most unique idea I can think of. I'm going to do an interview at a barbershop.
But at least this one is an actual haircut.
Yeah, and this
LeBron's
point in time,
is the shop. Yeah, you're just sitting in a shop. It's fake.
They're
Brady
using
had his
nobody's
haircut.
Cutting hair. Yeah, so it's something called a Deep Cut Podcast, and here's what Tom Brady said about returning to play.
Let's say one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in an NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Well, I'll start with you, Lou. I mean, do you feel better now with the idea? At least he's open to the idea.
I mean,
he cites a couple teams. He even talks, he references Michael Jordan, so he knows it's possible.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you? Even if you draft one of these kids, you have Brady kind of there for a year. I don't know, why wouldn't you? I'd take him back. How about this? How about just go with Brady? Trade down, get a wide receiver and a tackle somehow in the first round.
No.
Just build around Tom Brady at 46. He's got a solid 5 years in him.
At least, right? Well, hell, you'll probably get more out of him than you do some rookie quarterback whose average lifespan as a starter after getting drafted is like two and a half, 3 years.
Yes, I think his career's over. I do. Even his arrogant. Did you hear his arrogance? So he's like, I'll always be in shape.
I'm not so sure it is.
You know me. I'm always.
Brady Belichick's gone.
I always get in the gym.
Well, that's the underlying issue here. He brought up Patriots. I wish Vic Blades or whatever his name was had kind of pivoted there.
You're talking about Vic Blades, the host of.
Is that not his name?
No, I'm just.
Oh, okay.
Because you just said Vic Blades.
I'm just throwing it out there like everybody knows who Vic Blades is.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Oh, Vic. He's edgy.
Oh,
Vic will wait back.
Yeah, the barber guy. The guy. Yeah, that guy.
He's presenting Brady with that.
And hold on. The whole Vic Blades thing, it's like a porn name.
Oh, you don't think Blades is the barber's last real name?
What are we doing here? Like, I mean,
Fabio Fabrizi is the weatherman in Rhode Island. You don't think Fabrizi is the guy's real name?
Oh, man.
But he brings up a very an honest hypothetical idea. Oh, the 49ers, a team that's built, but maybe their QB gets hurt, right? So that's an interesting question. But
Lou still hates his chair.
You are still fighting chairs.
Yeah, we almost dropped an F-bomb there quick.
How about that one? Just grab that one.
That's the one he put away.
Oh, that's what he put. Jeez, holy.
It's the low one. Where's the hot honey?
How about the one behind you?
Oh, fine, check that one next break.
Yeah, he's going to wake his
way
through.
Come here. Take my chair.
No.
Come on.
I want this chair.
What the hell is going on in here?
No, I don't need your chair.
Take my chair.
No, because your chair's
warm and smelly.
Break. Just keep your chair.
It's warm and
stinky ass anyways.
But he brings up the 49ers, and Brady interjects with, or the Patriots, and it's like, that's on the tip of your tongue? That's on the top of a third overall pick team. Not a playoff team that might need a quarterback in January because of an injury. Patriots need a quarterback now. I wish Vic Blades had pivoted there and kind of gone down that road, but I'm with you, Lou. So in a different way, the idea of trading
build
down,
around him?
That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Build
Phil
around
Perry
him.
Brought up last night on TV, why don't we just draft?
I'm with you.
Just draft Marvin Harrison at number 3, sign Tom Brady, draft a tackle at 34, and we just built an offense
that's,
that can win.
Me and Phil are on the same page.
Yeah, it's an idiot page.
Why?
No disrespect.
Build around him.
Kind of like it.
What are you going to do, suck? Oh, great, you have a top 5 pick next year.
Yeah, you're going
to
have
a quarterback. So what I do is I take Drake May, hashtag take Drake, I'm a maniac all night, and let him be mentored, because Dan Orlovsky, I'm sure you've heard, says Drake May needs like 2 years of rest on the bench before he's ready.
Well, then you don't take him at 3.
No, I do. He learns with Tom Brady, who just runs the offense. So now Alex Van Pelt, sorry, you're not running the offense. You get Drake May for a year. Go off on a spring training side field and get Drake May ready for 2025. Because none of us wants to see Jacoby Brissett, correct?
Well,
wants to see Jacoby Brissett.
Well, the only way you could sit a third pick overall if Brady's your quarterback.
Exactly. That's
because
why he's perfect.
By halftime of game one, if Brissett's starting,
exactly,
it's going to be like, what are we doing?
So this is perfect. You start Tom Brady as the ultimate shiny object to distract from the development of Drake May, because otherwise, Jacoby Brissett, I need Drake May. We got Drake May chance at Gillette Stadium right out the gates if anybody else is the quarterback.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, and it's not going to go well, right? We know. I'm pretty sure he's going to win. What's the max Brady wins? 7 games?
14.
He's undefeated. What are you talking about? Brady never loses. I think people kind of put him up on this, but like he's some mythical figure.
I mean, they still don't have a left tackle,
at least
right?
10.
They still don't have a left
he
tackle.
He doesn't need a left tackle.
They still don't have a wide receiver.
He doesn't need them either.
Are you sure about that?
Because
when he went to Tampa, he brought in a tight end. He brought in a wide receiver. He made sure he had weapons. I don't know how well he's going to do if he's throwing to Kayshon Booty, who's gambling
over
on every throw.
There you go. So, yeah, you know what? He's never happy, this guy.
High maintenance.
No, honestly, he's going to go back
who
to the little
knew,
chair
Lou?
Now.
High maintenance. Oh, you shrunk
God,
again.
It's worse.
His forehead's talking now. Before it was his groin.
I don't know. I think I'd still bring him in and build around him, if you ask me.
Wait, I'm telling you, I'm taller than you. I will take the short chair. You can have.
Oh, is this a problem?
No,
it's a good look for you.
I mean, I just feel like.
Heidi Ho, lady neighbor.
So.
I got him.
There you go. That's better.
I've just destroyed this show.
Yes, you have.
No, you've
but that's
actually
okay.
Improved it based on where it was originally going to go with the milkshake question.
So, in all seriousness, if Tom Brady called today
and
said, I'm sure you guys saw the podcast, Elliot,
yes.
Robert, Jonathan, Gerard, whoever the hell else is on the collaborative phone call.
Yeah.
Do they even consider it?
Top half, he's a top half quarterback in the league right now.
Does he consider it?
No, do they consider it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And does it change the draft?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It shouldn't. Hashtag take Drake.
You in this obsession with Drake May. I thought Merrill Hodge said he was going to get people fired.
Who gives a flying Fandango what Merrill Hodge thinks?
I'm with you. I'm just saying.
When did he become the God-O quarterback?
Oh, I'll tell you why. You want to know when?
Because he was once right?
He was like everybody else was right on Johnny Manziel. It just wasn't on first take.
Yeah, it's one thing I love, getting away from the radio thing. Because it's like you just sort of hit it in pockets. Remember, 3 months ago, it was like, dude, Drake May, not accurate. Couldn't even win in North Carolina, all this other stuff. Now it's like, you got to have him. J.J. McCarthy wasn't even in a discussion about 4 months ago.
Now he's
Now all of a sudden, J.J. McCarthy may actually somehow be the best quarterback in the draft because we haven't.
I
never once
hype.
Watched Michigan and said, oh, yeah, they're going to win it because of their quarterback.
Jim Harbaugh
defense,
didn't either.
Running back, and it's like, well, they didn't need to. Or they knew they couldn't with him.
Yeah.
Like, and now all of a sudden, it's like, no, he's the secret. He's the sneaky 60. He's the accuracy, the best velocity. It's like, all right, Drake May couldn't win out in Carolina.
Uh-oh, glasses are coming off.
Just draft the right guy. I'll just sit back. If not, you get fired.
It seems so easy. Well, they should get – I see that, and I don't know if you've seen this. GMs get more passes making the wrong choice nowadays. It's almost like, hey – the owner admits that it's really hard to do and it's not an exact science. And, I'm going to give you a couple misses. So if you miss on Justin Fields, if you miss on Zach Wilson, if you miss on, all these quarterbacks that were Trey Lance, don't worry about it. I'll give you another turn. If they almost admit by not firing these GMs that it's almost, sometimes impossible to hit on a draft pick, especially if he's a quarterback.
So give me the May argument. Because I'm not
the argument for him.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough.
He's the most physically gifted quarterback in this class. He's the closest thing to a combination of John Elway and Josh Allen that you can find. He's big. He has a strong arm. Elway. He's athletic.
So why wasn't he number one from the beginning?
Because Caleb Williams is really good too.
I keep hearing like there's a fear that he's Levis.
So there's three
Will Levis,
or Jake Locker, or Blake Bortles. So there's a fear with all these guys.
There's
though.
A fear with all of them.
Like the Caleb upside, Williams could be Kyler Murray,
but Caleb Williams could be Patrick Mahomes. I think that's the
Marvin
selling
Harrison's
point.
Marvin Harrison's going to be good.
Yeah, he'll be good.
Marvin
and if
Harrison's
he doesn't have a quarterback,
be...
he'll be on a bad team. Good. He'll be Calvin Johnson. He'll be asking for a trade in 3 years
Hall
out
of
New England,
and then he'll just have to retire because
is that what we're resigned to?
Is that the guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
I want them.
Do you
to
want
draft...
to win, or you want me to throw passes?
I want
to,
him to
a
start drafting all pros.
Okay.
I want him to start drafting guys that are good, not go get a tackle that's a jag in the first round. Like I want him to start drafting Pro Bowlers, and what? If it's a tackle. Just make him be a Pro Bowler. If it's a wide receiver, make it be Calvin Johnson. Holy smokes.
So the Saquon Barkley argument.
We'll figure it out, yeah.
Because Saquon Barkley went two to the Giants, and he's a very good player. When healthy, he's an all-pro caliber player.
Not a running back. I don't want a running back.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they're so hard to – they're so easy to find.
I don't want a running back.
You need a quarterback. The quarterback – believe me, I hate to say this. I'm a freaking fullback guy. I love James Devlin. I love linebackers. They're irrelevant. They are absolutely – the guy that matters in football is singular. I could go to your town. You tell me which team on the Pop Warner Field has the better quarterback. Give me that team, and I'll place 100 on them to win because the quarterback in high school, Pop Warner, college, and the NFL is the most important position. You need a quarterback. Right now you have Jacoby Brissett as your freaking placeholder. We're talking about a 47-year-old guy in a barber's chair coming out of retirement. That's how desperate you are. That's why you take Drake May at three.
What about the argument that – you know, if you're a good team with roster, you need that quarterback. If you're basically an expansion team offensively,
so
then
like
you
the Bengals.
Probably just need to like build a roster first. You're going to suck again, and then you dive back into it next year.
Houston sucked until they got C.J. Stroud.
That's
Cincinnati
not true.
Sucked. That's absolutely true.
That's not true at all.
They were picking number two overall, Lou.
They
were worse
wrong.
Than you.
They drafted wide receivers. They drafted offensive linemen for about 3 or 4 years. They actually built a young roster.
Was Nico
they
Collins
had a good,
good?
Offensive line.
He wasn't good until C.J. Stroud arrived.
Well, of course. He's a wide receiver.
Tank Dell arrived.
But they drafted
with him.
The wide receiver.
They took the defensive rookie of the year one pick after him. He changed
they
everything there.
They signed and
there.
Drafted an entire offensive line before they got C.J. Stroud.
They, were
they got Tank Dell.
Two
they got
overall.
Your boy Nico Collins. They actually
he
got
was a
good quarter, well, tight end in Schultz. They built the team
and all
around
of those
them
people,
and then got their quarterback.
And all of those people were picking number two overall.
But they were,
you, number two, they were worse than you.
Are they talented?
So then they got the quarterback, and what did they do? They went to the playoffs, and they won a playoff game.
Once they
the quarterback.
Drafted talent.
The Bengals
then
were
they
told.
Fit in the quarterback.
I listened
to
your guy, Chris Schein,
yeah.
on this station tell me, don't take Joe Burrow. You have a terrible roster. You are the Bengals. You need a tackle. You need a this. You need a that.
See, you lost
you know who they
Schein.
Took? They took Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
you know where they went?
Skinny Schein.
The
Skinny
Super Bowl. Schein. The quarterback is the most important position in sports. It changes everything both on the field. And what did you hear this offseason? Saquon Barkley, you know where he wanted to go? Not Philly. You know where he wanted to go?
New England.
Houston. Not New England. Oh. Houston. The quarterback draws people in. It allows you to trade for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Get a number one wide receiver. It changes the locker room. It changes the transaction.
I just think they built it around
changes
Stroud
the field.
Before he got there. I think they did.
They tried.
Yeah,
they tried.
Drafted good players. And then they found the quarterback to put it all together.
No, no, no. They got the quarterback that pulled it all together.
Sure. Because
all those good players you had were picking number two overall.
I'm just afraid of being the Jets. Draft a quarterback, they have no talent around him, and the guy's got no chance to succeed, and you got to dive back into it in 3 years because he's got nothing.
Don't wake me up.
Nothing.
We have a guest coming.
Where's my hot honey?
It's on its way. Poor Coop. Poor Coop going back and forth between you two. I tell you, this hosting thing is so easy.
You just sit back
so
and listen.
Easy. Just so easy. I just sit back, put my feet up, and just wait. Oh, look at that. We got a trend. Oh, it's Danny Green, three-time NBA champion, will join us right after trending, and the pizza is on its way.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, Gresh and Fourier now on to the Harbor One Hotline. Danny Green on the line right now is Odyssey NBA insider Danny Green. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Danny, how you doing today? You're on with Lou Merlone, former Major League Baseball player, very successful pro career, and some other guy named Andy Hart, who never played at any pro level ever.
Screw you.
I'm good. Appreciate you guys having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so we're getting closer to the playoffs, and obviously I know you've been watching the Celtics, and it just seems like their give-a-crap level is at zero. What do you make of the way they've been playing?
I'm looking at it as toward the end of the season, they pretty much, they're clinched the spot. They're number one. I don't think anybody's catching them. So I thought they would rest people, but they aren't. So at this point, they might as well if you're going to, you know, have that level of care. But I feel like they're just trying to keep rhythm, just trying to play and hoop. I don't know how serious they're taking it, but it seems like the rest days, hopefully that's the mindset, because right now the last couple of games they haven't looked like themselves.
Danny, you were on some of those great teams in San Antonio, and maybe you saw a few end of the seasons like this. How do you balance the rest, make sure you're sharp? Do you just flip the switch, make sure everyone's healthy, or have you seen some, maybe in your experience, maybe sitting guys didn't exactly help go into the playoffs?
No. There is no flipping a switch. You can't turn it on and off like when you want and you feel like it. But, yes, that's on the coach. We've rested guys, and it always helped. You always want to give them some games to relax, and obviously you also want to keep them in rhythm. So coach has to figure out how to do that, how to balance it, how to keep guys fresh but also in shape. So I think, like, the best approach would be, you know, take, like, maybe the last two games pretty good, or, like, at least a half of, like, first or second half of the last two games so guys get their minutes in rhythm. But the games prior to that, probably, you know, rest of two or three games. Especially if you said you had that number one seed locked in. The biggest issue now is just health, you know.
Yeah, you know, because they lose last night 118-109. The starters get pulled in, like, the third quarter. The crowd starts booing because they're just irritated with the bad basketball. You mentioned how you just can't be a, you know, flip-the-switch team. But I feel like they're dismissing – like, what's happening. It's almost like, hey, no big deal. Even there was audio of Jason Tatum saying, hey, I can't, you know, the next time we get on a plane, it's going to be for real. I feel like that's a problem.
I think it could be, yeah. We'll see when it happens. It doesn't look good right now, but they are a really good team that could, I guess, turn it on. I mean, but they're young, so you don't want to be, you know, in that type of realm or mindset with a young group. You kind of want them always locked in. But so they've got the number one seed, and, you know, they should be taking everything for real. But it's not a good sign going into the playoffs right now. But as I said, they have the home court locked up, and they have a couple games to get it together and also to rest if they need to. They're in a good position. But as I said, they need to probably tighten up the last couple games, honestly.
Danny, the Celtics inked Drew Holiday to a long-term extension this week. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that gives him some comfort, motivation, whatever a positive may be heading into the postseason. Flip side of this, the talking point around here is, oh, does that mean they don't have money to keep Derek White around? Do contract extensions like that this time of year, can they play a role with the mindset of a guy and of a team heading into the postseason?
For sure. I think Drew deserves every dollar. Very good player, even better person. And, you know, floor leader and locker room leader. So that's why they kept him. I think they'll figure out a way to keep Derek as well. I don't think Derek's thinking about that, but I know it helps probably Drew be comfortable. Like, all right, I have a future here. I'll be here for a while. They did it earlier in the year with Porzingis. I'm sure they'll try to figure out Derek this summer, but I don't think other people's contracts affect the guys that are playing or other guys around them mindset. It could. But Derek is a vet now. He's been in this league for a while. He's played in San Antonio. He's professional. He knows how. He's not the type to turn it on and off. And he's going to be playing his game regardless of the situation, regardless of contracts. And I expect all those guys to show up, especially him, and play their best basketball when the time is necessary.
Danny, this team, for the most part, the core, you know, they've lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. They lost in the NBA Finals. yet they have the best record in the NBA. Do you look at a team like that that is yet to get over the hump as the clear favorite in the NBA Finals? Or, and if not, like who would be the team you'd be most concerned with? Is it out West?
I think they're the clear favorite in the East. I wouldn't say the NBA Finals. If they were mature and showing those signs, then yes, they would be. But so there's something about them that shows vulnerability, and people are not 100% sold. So with that being said, they better tighten up these last couple of games, because the East is very wide open, but the playoffs, there's no easy nights, and any team could shock you. You don't want to see Miami again in that A seed, or Philly, and you're not playing your best basketball. That's not what you want to see happen.
So we're talking to Danny Green, 15 years in the league. He is our Odyssey insider, and insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. I'm wondering if we all get a free Hyundai for this this deal, and if you're rolling around in your Hyundai, you can, Santa Fe. Danny, when you look at the MVP race, you know, I know it's basically over. At least I'm assuming it's over. I saw this thing on Kevin Hart, you know, doing this podcast, alternate broadcast of one of the games, and he's talking about Nikola Jokic can't win the MVP again. You just can't give it to him again. It's like there's this cap or this limit on it, especially when you have guys like SGA, Brunson, Tatum, Doncic, or even Anthony Edwards, right? Do you agree with that? Is it turning, if you win it too much, does it turn into just let somebody else have it?
I don't think he's at that point where he's won it too much. He's won it twice. There's people that have won it more than three or four times. So I think more people, fans would like to see other people. You know, it's a regular season award, and I think people have really great regular seasons. Obviously, Denver has had an unbelievable regular season, but he usually turns it up even more in the playoffs. But people would like to see other people win it. And I think Shea was my MVP until he sat out the last couple weeks or so. He's back now, but Luka's really turned it up a notch. I like the way he's been playing, and Dallas has been balling. So those two for me were other options that were best outside of Jokic. But, Jokic has been playing well and hasn't missed many games and putting up the same numbers he's put up in the past. So if he deserves it, he rightfully so should get it. But, yes, people do, I think, get tired of seeing the same person win the same awards over and over. Why, you didn't see Dwight Howard win, Defensive Player of the Year like three or four times, or four times, because they're just tired of seeing, he could have gotten it more than once. Same with LeBron. LeBron's kind of got MVP more than four times, but they're tired of seeing it happen. So, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I think there's a chance that somebody may shock us. And I said Luka could be the one. I said if he finished up the regular season in Dallas somehow, I don't know, sneaks into the top three or something like that, which I doubt happens, but they sneak in there. Luka could be a serious consideration.
Dan, you talk about the Celtics team. They have some vulnerabilities, and obviously, the 62-win team, so you kind of pick at times. But I think one constant that I think fans get frustrated with, in the playoffs, it's going to come down to the last shot. And we've seen it repeatedly with this team over the years. It's basically four guys in the corner, give the ball to Tatum with 15 seconds left, let him dribble it down to three, and take a fadeaway. It's over and over and over again. Do you see that in that Celtics? Is that one of the issues you're talking about? And what can they do differently?
Yeah, they do a lot of settling. And it's not just that. It's overall, they fall in love with the three ball. I think, they first team in NBA history to not attempt a free throw in a game, which is kind of crazy. They got to get more inside, more to the free throw line. You see certain stars, like even James Harden, Trae Young. Cole Brown, those guys knew how to get to the free throw line if the game wasn't going well, or score in other ways besides shooting threes and creating in other ways. They're very capable of scoring at the rim. They're very capable of getting to the mid-range and free throw line, but they do fall in love with the three a lot and settle, and they do a lot of iso ball, one-on-one, my turn, your turn, when it comes to the fourth quarter, and you don't see as much execution or continuity, and I think that's the reason why a lot of people aren't as sold on them, because meanwhile, these are great players, but that's not the best offense and not the most efficient when you're trying to win games, especially in the playoffs.
Talking with Odyssey NBA insider Danny Green here. Danny, sort of building off that question, stars win and lose, whether that's fair or not, in the playoffs, in all sports, really. Do you consider Jason Tatum clutch, a closer, or does he still need to prove that?
No, I do. I consider him that. He definitely is a clutch and a closer. And not every star or every superstar is very consistent in that area. It doesn't mean that they're not clutch. It's just not an easy area to be the best in. You know what I'm saying? Like, the most efficient in. It's a very low clock, not a lot of time. Yeah, superstars help win playoff. I think really the people that help you win series and playoff games are your role players. You need an X factor to show up and give you some.
Bye, Danny.
Ooh, we lost him. We lost Danny Green. I'm sure he was
ran out of energy.
You want to check and see? Okay, so we lost Danny Green real quick, and I was just getting ready to ask him my very important question.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
Oh, the milkshake?
The milkshake question. The milkshake question. It's you know, here's a guy that played, you know, what, 15 years in the league, won three titles, three different teams.
A 62 team win should not be, like, vulnerable.
They shouldn't
but they
be.
Are.
They shouldn't yeah. be exploitable. And I would say there's a difference between like the way the Celtics are running through the East compared to how difficult the West is with, you know, Denver and Minnesota and OKC and the Suns. And, you know, I'll throw the Lakers in there because who the hell knows? They got a puncher's chance of anything, even though they'll probably get bounced.
But they have a great team. It just baffles me that we've seen the same endings of games the last two or three years. Like, it hasn't worked. It's never worked. I don't know if you're just going to keep doing it in the hopes that it does work, that the fadeaway three with 2 seconds to go, double teamed, rather than just running an offense and trying to get Tatum moving around, and you have other options that can finish. Is that the beauty of, like, Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, to have other options rather than just say, down one, tie game, here's the ball, dribble, dribble, down to seven, make a move and shoot? Like, it's never worked. It hasn't worked. I have zero confidence it's going to start working. And that's going to be the difference at some point. You're not going to blow everybody out in the playoffs.
So yes. It's Tatum. Like, that to me, you just said a lot of words. It's Tatum. Like, because they have decided
to him. Yeah.
Tatum is their guy. Tatum is their leader. Tatum is their closer. And Danny believes he's clutch. And, oh, you know, a lot of guys aren't consistent there. Yeah, and those guys aren't great. If you're great in that area and you're clutch, that's why you're Steph Curry. That's why you're Dame Lillard. That's why you build that reputation and resume. And Tatum's is... Yeah, he does it sometimes.
All so the great finishes don't just dribble like that. They come off screen.
No, they find a way, though. Right, they find a way. He doesn't find a way.
No.
The host is angry.
Oh, wait. So I was just about to say goodbye to Danny Green, but sure enough, Danny Green is back. Because I was just about to read the... Danny, you there?
You going to bring it back?
There you go. I don't remember... like what question we were asking you, but I'm going to end it with this.
Tatum being
clutch.
Clutch. But I was saying, I think the role players are the ones that really win playoff games.
Yeah.
You're going to need Derek White and Jrue. Those guys step up. Sam Hauser, Pritchard. But yes, the stars are supposed to do what they're supposed to do, and I think he is clutch. He just hasn't been as consistent. I said he's a younger star, and he hasn't been as consistent as most people would like him to be. So, you know, I think this year he'll show the maturity each year, taking that step. To where, you know, he's more trustworthy. But ultimately, I think your role players need to win you a lot of those playoff games.
So, Danny, you played 15 years in the league. You played for six different teams. You won three NBA championships. You're now the host of Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. It's a podcast that drops every Thursday. You can find it on the Odyssey app. You can find it on YouTube and everywhere podcasts are available. But, Danny Green, can you answer this question? What do you mean, oh, my God? You don't need to, oh, my God.
It's a terrible question.
No,
we should let you know.
Stop it. Just let me answer the – let me ask the question. Danny Green, if you were making a Boston Celtics postseason milkshake, what ingredients would you be adding?
I don't know if I can answer that question.
You can't.
I'm sorry,
it's stupid.
I'm sorry.
Milkshake.
Yeah. It's all. You already kind of got the normal ingredients. What are you adding to it to make it even better?
And this is talking about the team and bench of what you think they need. Is that what you're saying?
We're not really sure.
No one has any idea what he's talking about.
Nobody can answer the questions. It's cryptic. It's broad. It's very vague. Yeah. It's very vague, Danny.
It is very vague. When I'm thinking basketball analogy, I'm thinking they need a little more depth. That's all. Like maybe one piece that could help, that could be a veteranship and a leader in a locker room. So. When you're talking about that type of ingredient,
there
I think that's the one thing that they could be lacking. So
I like it.
There you go.
That's,
That's my answer.
That's a tasty milkshake.
You did the best you could with a bad question.
Well done. I have no idea. In terms of food, I have no idea what to put in there.
Well, Danny, we'll be talking to you throughout the playoffs. So we appreciate you taking some time today to come on and join us. And we'll talk to you next week. And that was Odyssey NBA Insider Danny Green. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Now, would you say Hyundai or Hyundai?
Jesus, I'm sorry.
How long have you been out of radio?
Milkshake. I'd say milkshake.
We say milkshake. Yeah. Hey, I want to play this for you real quickly because I think the biggest issue moving forward is just the way the Celtics are kind of dismissing everything that's happening. It's like it's no big deal. And here's Kristaps Porzingis last night reacting to the boos the team had in the third quarter.
It is what it is. It is what it is. No, it's not who we are, obviously. This is not, you know, we got booed at the end for a reason. You know, this is not the fans. This is not the team that our fans love. You know, this wasn't that display. But best believe we're going to show up when we need to. And we have a week of work now ahead of us in a couple games to bounce back and get going on all cylinders, because we know what the goal is and make no mistake about that.
So, yeah, so they got two games left, the Hornets and the Wizards. I just feel like it's a problem. I feel like they're dismissing what's happening, and it's just it kind of feels like they just go, listen, we don't care. It's not important. They lack motivation, and you can tell by the fact that they get out-rebounded, too many extra chances for the opposing team. And I feel like this is a problem.
Me too, because they're not established. I would feel differently if this was like a team with a couple titles, veteran-led. But when you're trying to – Lou, you talked about, they've lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. They've lost in the – you're losers. You end every season with a loss. You've never ended a season with a win, and you're not ending the regular season in winning fashion.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like – I kind of compare it to, say, like the 18 Red Sox, who were great. But they were filled with a roster that had struggled the previous years in the postseason. The performances weren't there, right? Mookie wasn't swinging it. And,
yep.
And David Price, you were just looking at him like – And it was 18 was going to be one or the other. It was going to be like, I don't think this team's ever going to be able to win. They can't get over the hump. Or if they win it, they're literally going to be one of the better teams, Red Sox teams of all time. You know, and I feel like this is kind of where they are. Maybe not one of the greatest teams of all time, but still 62, 64 wins. Who knows what they end up? That's a damn good season.
Yep.
So it's like one or the other. Like if they melt down again in the finals, it's going to get loud. Talking about this group and what's wrong with it. Something's wrong. And then, you know, then there's other people going to be like, oh, something's wrong. They're 62. They made NBA Finals. Grow up. It's like, well, maybe it's just his talent.
You
got to get over that hump.
What about heart?
If not, there's going to be people questioning everything.
Text line says Celtics have no heart.
We don't.
I'm not going to dive into that. Here's
what
the
if they lose?
Here's what you can't say anymore. Here's what you can't say.
Because I have a special place in my heart.
You can't say they're young. You can't, like, no. Technically, they're grown men. They've played in multiple championships. They have a lot of, like, playoff experience. Like, if this was a, you know, Jaylen Brown for the first time being 26 years old, I'd be like, well, he's a young guy, you know, young player, first time in this situation. You give him the benefit of the doubt. You can't give this team the benefit of the doubt and say, well, they're young. They just paid Jaylen. They just paid a Drew Holiday. They paid all these players.
But immaturity doesn't exactly mean youth. Like, you don't have a 50-year-old buddy that's immature still?
Well,
he is a 50-year-old
buddy.
You're
my buddy that's immature still. Like, you're my version
of
that.
So when we hang out, you accept the adult role. I accept the childish role. That's fine.
Just because you're making $60 million and you've played in the league for 6 years and you've got a lot of minutes and you've got a lot of experience doesn't mean that you don't play immature. Like, vulnerable, late in games. You don't know what it takes. And honestly, they're, like, on that edge. Because if they do win, we're going to talk about great of a team this is. If they lose, we're saying something is wrong. They need to be broken up. That's the kind of extremes you're dealing with, though. Oh, my God, like we did, like, 3 years ago.
Break up the Jays.
I mean, they're not going to break it up, but it's, like, that's the extreme.
Do you think that's why they paid Drew Holiday? Because they want him to be. He's got a ring.
Yeah.
They want him to be the leader, the mature guy, the veteran, whatever. And if you don't know whether he's going to be here next year, if you're Tatum and Brown and those guys, you're like, you might not even be here. So I'm not going to listen. Now you say, he's here. He's the veteran sage dude on this team.
And Porzingis, too. Now, maybe there's not a ton of winning behind him. I get it. Not a ton of winning. But you were like sitting there saying, okay, Marcus Smart. It's like you needed some a veteran from an impact guy on the team, which is what Holiday is.
Absolutely.
From another organization to sit there and game three, when you're up 2-1 and you play like dog piss in game four, to sit there and go, guys, hello? Like, you got to figure it out. Like, you can't come out with up 2-1 and just think you can give a game away because you're on the road and we're going to win at home. There's no guarantees. You need that strong voice.
All right, so you know who's got a strong voice?
Who that?
Tom E. Curran.
Love Tom.
He's at 12 o'clock. I still got to get your opinion of what's going on with Otani and this gambling scandal.
Nothing,
that is just insane.
Nothing to see here.
It is amazing. That's what Major League Baseball, is trying to convince us of. But first, let's do the lunchtime parlay. We'll get to Tom, and then we'll do Otani.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, so lunchtime parlay. So just a quick recap. Gresh, I guess we don't even get credit for him yet. It wouldn't matter anyways because Billy lost Athletics at Rangers, Capitals for Nick at Sabres. Fourier, his philosophy, that would be me. I took the Orioles, Lou.
Oh.
I took the Orioles over the Red Sox. So let's start off today. Hart's going to be picking for Billy. Lou, not Billy.
Billy's
Andy,
right there.
For Andy.
I am Lou, Andy.
Lou and I are going to be sharing a pick.
We are.
What? Yeah. But let's start with Billy first. Billy, good morning. How are you?
What's going on?
What's happening?
How are y'all? So I'm going with, there's a Royals-Mets games today, and I'm taking the Royals on the money line against the Mets. It's I'm trying to think. I got it. Now I'm looking it up because I didn't think you were going to come to me so quick. Just on the probables. But Luis Severino against Michael Wacha. So I'm taking former Red Sox ace Michael Wacha to beat the Mets.
Okay.
On
All
the
right.
money line.
All right. I like it. Nick, like how about one. You? Are you ready, Nick?
I'm ready.
Okay.
And it's real easy.
I love easy.
The White Sox are really bad. It's kind of like
Ooh.
A Foyer thing. The White Sox
like
are terrible.
It.
Already talked about firing their manager. And the Reds are actually kind of fun. So give me the Reds on the money line today in Chicago against the White Sox.
I like fun. All right. Andy for Andy. You're up.
So we talked about it. Celtics kind of laid an egg effort-wise, execution, whatever, boo. So the obvious answer is to bet on them to cover 7.5 tonight.
That's the philosophy I use. They're due.
Yeah, they got a good
good talking to.
They're young and athletic, and they're going to have a point to prove. I think they're going to go out and blow some doors.
Yeah. No, it's not due. That's not how any of this works.
The due theory, though, is better when you talk about a good team.
Yeah.
You say the White Sox are due.
No. A bad team that's scuffling. I mean, a good team that's scuffling is due.
Yeah. No, we went with the Reds, Lou. We didn't go with the White Sox.
Right. Well, I was saying, like, if you went and said the White Sox are
due.
Right.
Yeah. Unless it was Dylan Cease on the mound, but he's not there anymore.
Right. Okay. So, you want to share this one, Lou?
No, I have nothing to do with it.
Lou.
I have nothing. I'm not Ipe.
He's not allowed.
I'm sticking. Oh, wait, are you calling the game tonight?
I am.
Again, well, I'm double dipping.
Me and
Obi. Are you going to go home?
Hell no.
You're going to go straight to the ballpark.
I think I want to drive in the rain again, although it should be stopped.
Did you hear how it went?
Yeah, I think
the drive in the rain.
I mean, you're going to be there a long time. Like, what are you going to do with your time?
I'm just
going to
take my time. Maybe I'll do a little, I don't know. Maybe I'll go crazy.
Hang out in the clubhouse?
Home Depot. I don't know if I have enough time. Lowe's, you know, Chipotle.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do you have a honey-do list that you have to get to?
Tell you what I would do. Take some ground balls. You might be an option.
No.
Yeah.
My arm's already blown out.
Yeah. All right. So after researching, a lot of research on this one.
What'd you come up with?
Red Sox again, but I'm going to take starting pitcher for the Anaheim Angels, Reed Detmer. Over 6.5 strikeouts, because I've heard that the Red Sox like to strike out, and this guy is really good at striking out the Red Sox.
Where'd you hear that?
Did I hear that right?
Well,
did I get that right?
See, you just took information I told you and made it bad. Like, I mean, what's the difference
from me looking at a website?
I mean, you just talked about how you dropped three straight, and you're facing a guy tonight that struck out 12 against you a week ago in Anaheim, and you know Devers isn't going to play. The infield is... And they do like to strike out.
12, you need barely half that to win.
This is a really good line. Like, this
you
is,
asked
this
me,
is
I
like
thought
almost
it'd probably be
not,
about 8.5. Just because he struck out, punched out, and he's punching out everybody. Dude's.
So it's not
like
just the Red Sox.
It's clicked for him. Like, this guy is, like, really good. So you're rolling after getting swept, and you got to, you know, you face an Angel team that's not great, but you got to face this guy.
So can't lose.
Which is like
why
when,
is this the
they'll
is
bomb
this...
him out in the third
oh,
inning
great.
Because it's the reverse lock.
It's the reverse. All right, so
that's why you don't bet baseball. But
or
anyway,
he feels
really?
A twinge and the trainer
you
comes
don't.
To the mound.
Why?
Because Pedro can go 7 scoreless and your bullpen gives it up. Like it's
well,
like,
to
you know,
win, but if you're just talking like strikeouts, isn't right. that the, is, what's the most consistent, predictable bet
yeah,
in
yeah,
baseball?
Yeah, I mean, it's just yeah, I guess it's. But, you know, you could get to him. He's out of there in 4 2/3. Right. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have it that night. Guys don't just do it every night. You know,
that's why it's called gambling.
You know, 162, you're better off just sitting there. But, you know, just saying like season totals. But, you know, because it all evens out.
Okay.
But predicting game by so the it's one that hard. I like recently that's kind of like getting my attention is Jaren Duran total bases.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I wish there was something like
The angry lizard. We call him an angry lizard last
The way
night.
He runs?
Yeah, it's angry. Looks like a little lizard.
What do you think he could run the 40 in if he was at the combine?
I'll have to ask him if he's ever been timed.
Honest to God, will you ask him? Because I wonder if I'm sure he's done a 20.
See, he and David Hamilton run differently, right? I don't know. Are they like 4-5 guys? Is that really fast?
No,
4-5. Well,
really fast.
But not
four,
NFL five wide is, receiver.
Is fast, four, but it's not world-class athlete fast.
Well, 4-2, 4-3, you're talking next level. But 4-5, how big is he?
Below 4-5?
How big is he?
He's probably like 210.
Yeah, so he's got to get into 4-4s. I ran a 4-5.
Brag. Oh, he's faster than you.
Four,
you ran
five.
A 4-5?
My ass.
4-5-1. I did.
Don't believe it. But I don't think he's like 4.
Electronic or stopwatch?
I don't think these guys are like 4-3s.
Now we got Christian Fourier. Are they? Doesn't run tremendously.
Yeah, you didn't run a 4-5.
You're right.
Boomer says you suck.
A
junior.
You're
in
ass.
College.
That's a 30-yard dash.
No.
Yeah, that wasn't right.
Look at this guy. You look at him on Twitch, the way his legs bow out. He's kind of got Lou Maloney legs.
Yeah, he's just an angry lizard. But he, I don't know. You think he runs like a 4-3?
No, I don't.
No way.
I would say 4-5 is probably
no way.
High 4-4s.
I'll find out today.
But in baseball, isn't it feet per second or something?
Yeah, he's elite.
All right. Okay. Both of you guys shut up. What do we got, Nick?
Angry.
It was $10 for $141.04.
Okay.
Let's go.
There you go. You know who's next? Okay.
Who that?
Get ready.
Speaking of angry,
you got another milkshake question on the line.
I can't wait to
Tom E. Curran, your Patriot insider. Will join us next, and then we get to Otani.
Ooh.